It's Monday, July 29th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. This is show number 878, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our July GoDaddy special, get 32% off your new orders at GoDaddy.com by using the promo code GO32OFF1 or GetA.com for $2.49. We'll tell you how to do that here in just a few minutes, but we have a storm bearing down us on the Hawaiian Isles. Talk about that here in a few minutes, but you know what comes next? Strap in, because here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to thank you for being here today. Thank you for being part of the Ohana, being part of our absolute dedicated audience. And of course, those of you that are actually joining us late on the stream, thanks. Hey, Andrew, Brian, welcome to the stream. Andrew, what in the world are you doing up at 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast time? But everyone, welcome to the show. And what was a tropical storm, I think now is a tropical depression. Been watching the radar all day. It's been gloomy and cloudy here in Oahu. And we actually got the yard mowed, trimmed the hedges, did some stuff around here today, and kind of just a little bit of prep. Because the winds aren't going to be that high. It's only like 30 miles per hour now, 35, something like that. So it really isn't that big of a deal. But we're going to get a lot of rain, which is good. We need rain and maybe some thunderstorms, which is a rarity here in the Hawaii Isles. So we'll look forward to that. But main thing is get the show knocked out, get everything in the can and get it uploaded, then disconnect from the power grid here. I don't want the gear up and running when the storm runs through. We've got everything well protected, but when lightning starts flashing, it is time to make sure that the investment of the gear here is well protected and unplugged. Don't need to have any unnecessary, short circuits being incurred by Mother Nature. But hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, again, a warm welcome to the Ohana and listeners from around the world. And we want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all of our content. Our writers are busy at work over there. The writing team has been cranking away this week, putting out some good articles. And of course, you can get subscribed to this show and the other shows here at Geek News Central. Don't forget, you've got the Gadget Professor Robot Underpants. Doesn't look like what is, you know, we had thought we had found a new host for the Chrome Show. And I think I'm on the search again. So if you want to take over the Chrome Show, let me know. I'm looking for a good host for that. And with everything going on with Chromecast, maybe we can shift it sideways a little bit, but we'll talk about that a little later here. But definitely, if you want to reach out to the show, it's real easy to do so. Reach me on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. You can use our hotline. Oh, let's push the right button there. You can use the hotline to give us a call at 619-342-7365. So I actually was pushing the wrong button here. Let's see if we can get that. There we go. Now we've got it right. So again, everyone, welcome to the show. And hey, if you've missed the show live, you can watch us on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. You can watch with your Clearcast device, which is pretty cool as well. We'll talk about that implementation, of course, on Google TV as well. We want to make sure you subscribe to the newsletter as well, because the newsletter is where I'm going to basically be blasting everyone all of the show notes. If you're not on the newsletter, don't worry. Go to gncshownotes.com/878. GNCshownotes.com/878 for all our show notes for this particular show, or just go over to GNCshownotes.com. Of course, part of the proud member of the Tech Podcast Network here, we added a bunch of shows to TPN today. I think we're up to 160 or 170 shows. Went through and vetted all the podcasts. It's amazing to me still, as we're going through and reviewing podcasts, how many tech shows are nothing but filled with the four-letter obscenities, and it's just remarkable to me. You know, hey, don't get me wrong. I can cuss like a sailor when I need to, but for a tech show, why? Why do you have to just, you know, go there? I don't get it. I really, really don't. And they, of course, those shows were automatically disqualified and not part of the network. And we don't even send them a disqualification email anymore. We just don't even approve them. But, of course, we're streaming tonight up on YouTube. It's been working out pretty good. I'm actually really kind of pleased with the YouTube platform. Everything that Google does is top-notch. The only little bit of a pain is you have to have a new embed every show. But I kind of get that process down. And the best part is, it's free. That's the best part, you know. And in really, looking at my Amazon cost and everything else, you know, it's about a couple $100 back in my pocket every month, which makes it, you know, it's a big difference, especially when, you know, everything is, you have to just watch where you spend your dollars every month. But hey, we got GoDaddy here as a sponsor, and I'm going to tell you, we've just got this fantastic deal that's getting ready to expire, and they have not told me what the August promotion is going to be yet. I can't believe we're almost into August. It just completely blows me away. But so what we've got on promotions this month, and of course you can find all this information at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, is our $249.com. Basically, for one new or transfer.com for the first year, by using the promo code Geek249, you get a $2.49.com. Or if you want 32% off your order at GoDaddy, you use the promo code GO32OFF1. That's for a new order. That's not a renewal order, but a new order. And of course, you can get onenew.com with a free year of private registration by using the promo code FREE2. As well, what we want to do is make sure that you're aware of all of our other codes. You know, there's some $1.99 per month hosting codes. There's 15% off on $20 or more. Those are goods on renewals. There's some 20% off on your shared hosting, 10% off on non-domain orders. Of course, the .com renewals at $8.49 by using the promo code COMSALE. And then basically $5, $10, and $20 off coupons based on how much you spend, in the $12.99 SSL certificates as well. And of course, you know, just clicking on the link will take you over to GoDaddy, and it'll break out the code for you. I'm actually being told by my GoDaddy rep that they're going to be introducing in August some new URLs that I can put into my banners and stuff that basically was going to do a much better job of tracking and making sure that we get credit for deals that go into GoDaddy, but you may find something that's a little bit better deal that they have offered. It's going to track it a little tighter. So we're excited about that. That'll help us out. But hey, get that 32%. Use that 32% off code now, because, you know, as far as I know, it's going away in just a couple of days. So be aware of that. And I'm sure we're going to have a great August deal. But these, you know, 32, 35, 30% off codes don't come around that often. Sometimes they hang out for 2 months, but there's absolutely no guarantee. But again, you can find all my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. And of course, if you notice in the back, the LED light has been updated. Several weeks ago, I actually found the disc that controls the programming of that thing. And so what's really been going on around here is, I told you guys I was doing a little staycation, kind of taking it easy, staying off the computer. Today was, or this past weekend was kind of like one of those catch-up weekends. And I did a complete deep clean, top to bottom of the studio. We basically went through, you know, here in Hawaii, the red dirt is notorious. And, you know, there's really no construction going on close to me from where the wind comes. And I normally get a wind this way, and it basically comes in the window in the studio here. But you can see it building up on the cameras. And I always put, I have these nice cloth bags I put over the cameras. and the rest of the vital gear that I've spent a lot of money on. But over time, you can just, you know, I can even see it on this one camera that we missed cleaning this one. But really what we did was a deep clean, and man, the red dirt just grosses me out. And I'm thinking to myself, how can that be possible? There's that much red dirt in here. But there was, and we went through and did a complete deep clean. Also added a light to the studio to give the back of the studio a little more pop. So if you're looking at the back of the studio, you should be able to see a little more detail there. We're going to work on getting that dialed in a little bit better. But really, top to bottom, deep clean in the studio here. And, you know, I had the label maker out and every little power. I've got like 4 power bugs. I have no idea. And what I mean by power bugs, little transformers, I have no idea what gear they go to. And I've got one Blackmagic Design HDMI to SDI converter that I can't find. Everything else is accounted for in the studio. So a little $395 device. It's, you know, not something that I'm totally freaking out about yet, but I'd like to find it because I'm going to be doing some testing. I actually did some testing this past weekend with the Chromecast device, and Google was nice enough to send me a Nexus 7 and a Chromecast to review. And let's talk just a little bit here about the Chromecast. And my goal, when I got this review unit, was boom, I took it to my television in the living room, plugged it in, got it configured. I mean, 5 minutes, it was done. It was configured. It was really an easy configure with a Chromecast application. And so I immediately started playing with it. And here's the thing that I found so far with the Chromecast. If I'm on my laptop or my Chromebook and I go to a website, I can very easily send the browser to the Chromecast device. And it replicates beautifully. I mean, it's really spectacular. Now, when you guys see, now when I bring up this screen, now this is the screen that is basically being driven by a program we call Ivy. And those of you that are listening, what I'm showing right now is I'm showing a web screen. Basically, it's on GoDaddy. You can bring it over and load up a Geek News Central website. But you see the full browser. You see the tabs at the top. You see the, basically, you see the whole thing. Now, I can go extreme and hide some of that, but it makes it real difficult for me to navigate and do the show. So what I thought was the way they did this was really, really slick. And it's kind of like in this little bit of a motif border, and they don't show the header. They just show the web page, and as you scroll up and down, it moves on the screen. It was really slick. So I'm thinking to myself, man, if I could get this little Chromecast device, which has got an HDMI plug on it, to plug into my Blackmagic Design HDMI to SDI converter, I can send the Chromecast output to the TriCaster, and man, we would have another way to show stuff that's on a screen and maybe a little bit cleaner, and we could do some other cool stuff that I got to thinking about. Well, lo and behold, the Blackmagic Design box does not see this, or the vice versa. And everything I did to get this to work would not. So I basically put a call out to all my VA guys and basically video audio guys and said, you know, order one of these, run it through every piece of gear you've got. Tell me which piece of gear works to be able to replicate, because really all it is sending a HDMI signal, but there's something there that's not talking. And we can figure out how to get this to implement into our video processing scheme. So we'll see how that works out over the next couple of weeks as people get these in their hands and play with them. But overall, the thing I was most disappointed with, and I've got the Nexus 7 here, is that while the Nexus 7 is fantastic, it is thin, it is light. If I compare the weight of it with the original one, even though it's in a case, it's night and day. I mean, literally night and day in weight. The screen is obviously beautiful, and I played with this thing, and I think I run the battery out 3 different times. Very snappy. The graphics is fantastic for Ingress, which, you know, I play, and it really kind of wowed me. But so my wife, she got onto this kick on Saturday of wanting to watch. She had heard about these ghost cities in China, and I think maybe we had talked about it here, and she wanted to see some of the YouTube videos. So I had to show off the Chromecast, so I basically plugged it in, and as we're running around with this thing, it made it into three different TVs here. But anyway, so I fired up the in YouTube and pushed the little button, and boom, sent it over. And she just looked at me, and she said, "How did you do that?" I handed her over the Nexus 7, and she's for the next 4 hours, she didn't touch her iPad, and she used the Nexus 7, the new Nexus 7. And the next thing she asked me is, "How much is one of these devices?" And I'm going to give you guys the lowdown here. In my opinion, this tablet, even though it's got the smaller screen size, is absolutely unequivocally the best deal going for a tablet, in my opinion. And, you know, the Chrome has been, Android's been growing on me for a while. But just the simple fact of being able to do something real slick. Now, we didn't even try Chromecast on iOS. We didn't even play with it. We were just using the Nexus 7, the new Nexus 7. Now, I got to send this back to Google. It's not a keeper, sadly. And my three Chromecasts are not here yet. So I've been basically using the one that Google sent me as a loaner. But big implications here. And overall, really good. But the only thing that sucked was when I was on Chrome in the Nexus 7 and I loaded my own website, I could not send my website to the Chromecast from my Nexus 7. I only could do it on my laptop. And that I don't fully understand yet why that feature is missing. Maybe I have something misconfigured. I don't know. But long story short, really, really slick. And so I'm real pleased with it. And this Nexus 7 is nice. Again, light. Really, really, really light. Now, the only thing I think that they screwed up on is the default back screen that they sent makes the display look just a little bit dingy. So that was kind of the only, that I got from it. But other than that, real happy. Of course, I'm real happy with the Chromecast thing. We're giving one of these away. We'll give away here in a few minutes. We already had scheduled that on the last show. But what I've also got is for the next show, for the show this coming Thursday, I've got two more Google TVs down here. So we're going to go ahead and just get rid of those things. We're going to get rid of a Google TV. So if you want to be in the running for a Google TV for the next show, all you got to send is an email to geeknews@gmail.com and put in your subject line Google TV giveaway, and I will put you in the running for a Google TV, and we'll just randomly pick a winner, and whoever it is will get one of those out of my grab box that I've got down there. So let me look at my show notes here. Somebody trying to print. I'm hearing some, maybe someone's outside messing around. But so anyway, let's go ahead and give away a Chromecast. So anybody in chat room want to help me out? Actually, let's see here. Let me just go ahead and do a random thing here. GNC comments and sort by subject. Oh, there's quite a few. We had a lot that came in. Dun, 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 dun. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to give this away to Melvin Aching. Melvin Aching, you are the one that came up in the randomizer. And I'll read Melvin's comments later. But Melvin's a cord cutter. So congratulations to Melvin. I will have, you're going to get a Chromecast. And you know what? Why not? Why don't we throw in on the, these things are $35. We can give a few of these away. That's in the budget. We'll give another Chromecast away next show as well. We give a Google TV and a Chromecast. So all you got to do on, to get the Chromecast, we're going to make you do something a little different. We're going to have you do a write-up of what you think the future is going to be for devices like this. Just do me a paragraph. Just do me a paragraph. Tell me what you think the future of devices like the Roku, the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV. You don't have to specifically write about this, but just put Chromecast giveaway number 2 in the subject line, and we'll give one of these away on the next show as well. So there's two things, a Google TV and another Chromecast. So two chances to win on the next show, but again, congratulations to Melvin. Also, hey, Sam, I know you're listening, and I got to get you a gift certificate. And my plan for you was to buy you a $50 gift certificate. It could be either a Visa card, or it could be Home Depot or Office Max. Or who do you prefer? Well, how would you like that $50 delivered on a gift card? Let me know, Sam, so we can get that out to you for producing our fantastically beautiful new lower thirds that he created. So, Sam, let me know that as well. I know you're listening. So let me go look at my stack here. We got to get into the tech news. I've just been jabbering too long here. New media show this past Sunday. Rick Calvert from New Media Expo came on. Now, Rick was a little bit late. We were about 15 minutes into the program before he checked in. He's is an expecting dad. His wife, obviously in the early stages of pregnancy, was having some issues that morning. So he was a little late coming on. So, he, of course, got to give the dad, a pass on that. But Rick came on, talked to us for just about an hour about things going on in the new media space. That show is up online at Geek News Central, so definitely check it out. I mean, we've been having some fantastic guests, and the guest that we've cut coming up this coming Saturday, I cannot wait. It's this gal is a consultant to radio personalities that helps them make their shows better. And so I plan on taking advantage and getting the full critique, and so it'll be a lot of fun. And so we'll be talking with her. Rob is going to forward over the details for me. So thanks for Rob for getting all that arranged. So anyway, I've covered all my little topics. So again, fantastic stuff going on here. So next, we'll give away Chromecast and a Google TV on the next show. We're going to do that here for over the next month or so. It is the doldrums of summer, and we can see the numbers have dropped off. So make sure you tweet that we're giving away stuff. That always helps bring people back in. And we're going to do this here for a few weeks. And it always, when I start giving stuff away, I don't know why people, maybe they only listen to when we announce it. So what we'll do is, from follow-on shows, I'm going to drop the you can win a prize different places in the show, not right in the beginning. So you'll have to listen a little bit further than the first 15 minutes. Okay, so let's go ahead here and get into the full stack. And man, I have got a huge stack for you today. And let me close this little link. I already talked about Rick being on the show. Okay, so imagine this. Sit back, and I'm just going to completely make your brain explode, all right? And this is not necessarily, well, this is kind of tech-related, but it has to do with a GPS error. So imagine returning home from vacation. You know, you've just had a nice vacation off somewhere, and you find that your house has been cleaned out. There's nothing left. Wall to wall, your entire house has been emptied. It is like the movers have come in and emptied. There's not even a scrap of paper left on the floor. Matter of fact, you can't even get in your front door because your key doesn't work anymore. Well, that's what happened to an Ohio woman recently, and the police are refusing to help. That's because the perpetrator was First National Bank, except this young lady's home was not behind on her payments. The bank just repossessed the wrong house. So they came in, changed the locks, took all her stuff. Now, would you be pissed? Of course, I would be like ready to go to war, right? So Katie Barnett says First National Bank in Wellston foreclosed on her house even though it was not her bank. She says, they repossessed my house on accident, thinking it was the house across the street. Barnett had been away from the house for about 2 weeks, said she had to crawl through the window of her own house in order to get in after she used her own key that didn't work. Some of the items in her house had been hauled away. Others were sold, given away, or trashed. Turns out that the bank sent someone to repossess a house located across the street, but my mistake broke into her house. They told me that the GPS led them to my house. My grass hadn't been mowed, and they just assumed. Barnett said that, according to the bank president, this was the first time something like this happened. She presented him with an $18,000 estimate to replace her losses, but the president of the bank refused to pay. He got very firm with me and said, "We're not paying you retail here. That's just the way it is." Barnett said, "I did not tell them to come into my house and make me an offer. They took my stuff and I want it back." Now, the shock of having her house broken into and belongings taken by SEC has now turned to anger. "Now I'm just angry. It wouldn't be a big deal if they would step and say, 'I'm sorry, we'll replace your stuff.' Instead, I'm getting attitude from them. They're sarcastic when they talk to me. They make it sound like I'm trying to rip the bank off. All I want is my stuff back." So here's my recommendation. If you do banking with this bank, First National Bank, I'd call them or email them and complain. You know, the bank took her stuff illegally, and she gave them an estimated bill of what it would take to get her stuff replaced, and they don't want to pay her replacement value. I would hire me the most nasty. I'm not a suing type. But I'd hire me the most nasty lawyer that I could find. And I would go after them for an absolute unbelievable amount of money. You lost your pictures, your digital stuff, anything personal, all that stuff, all the duress that would have been caused. I would sue them. And you know what? There is not a jury in this country that would not have pity on someone that had their house emptied by some bank. The excuse that the GPS led them to the house is unbelievable. But the sad part about this, it's not as rare as one would hope. Sadly, stories like this are too common. In September 2012, subcontractors hired by Wells Fargo mistakenly foreclosed on the wrong home in California, destroying a man's vacation home in the process. A review of court records in 2012 by the Huffington Post revealed more than 50 lawsuits have been filed against banks and subcontractors who have entered and foreclosed on the wrong properties. Most of the suits are tied to the two largest property management contractors in the U.S., Safeguard Properties and Lender Processing Services. There's a petition that has been started to make the bank pay her back. And where are they at on this? Let me add my name to this right now. Todd Cochran. And let me put my email address in here. And let me put my zip code. And let me go ahead and submit this. I'm just going to put jerks. And so anyway, I have submitted. Oh, they got a video. She's been on television too. That's incredible. So anyway, long story short here. But this is a young gal. She looks in it. The picture that is on the screen, at least, shows that she is about maybe 25 to 30. I don't want to insult her age. She's not that old. But let me show you a picture of this young lady. Kind of cute, too. So, boy, oh, boy. Would you be just complete? Would your mind explode or what? Anyway, that's it on that. And crazy. Come home and your house is empty because they've repossessed it. Well, there's been huge news going on in the UK. And this is all about the web filtering that's being pushed by the Cameron administration. And it's not pretty what's going on up there. About the, and again, what people do in the privacy of their home, that's their own business, you know, but this whole UK porn filtering plan is just beyond incredible. and some other countries' prime ministers are getting involved too. And then all of a sudden they felt the immediate backlash from their citizens. But great reading over at Tech Dirt on what's going on in the UK over this this fallout. And what's even more interesting is there's been an invitation put forth to use a North Korean ISP that can't. I was just like, wow, are companies really going to go there? It's pretty nuts. But just think, this is just the government's way in. And I just saw a lightning flash out the window. So we got to keep moving on this show. if you live in the UK, I'm, you know, call your elected official and let them know what you think about this type of filtering going on. And we don't you know, you guys don't live in China. You know, it's you live in a democracy, right? All right. Report reveals Apple's working on a cheaper plastic-backed iPhone. And boy, a lot of people are saying that this is the real deal. Again, a low-cost iPhone makes sense for Apple as it looks for ways to grow its mobile hardware business. So looks like we may be getting a cheaper phone, but maybe a smaller one. So time will tell on this. But I don't think people are that crazy about, they want it to work. They want it to feel nice. You look at the Galaxy, that Galaxy S4, incredible phone. We'll see how, if packaging is that important to people. People really want to get something more inexpensive. Now, some of you, this is even more kind of off the chart, but this is an article over on Ogizmo. I kind of laughed about it because anytime we're out and about, my wife gets ate up by mosquitoes. And they kind of leave me alone. And I'll get a few bites, but nothing big. And it just drives her crazy because she doesn't understand it. And I'm just, they don't like my blood. Or, you know, there's something about it. You know, everybody hates mosquitoes, right? And the market is flooded with products aiming to get rid of them. Luckily here in Hawaii, we don't have this huge mosquito problem because there's enough trade winds. It keeps them moving. But they're making a patch. And it's actually a Kickstarter. And they're trying to raise, they initially set up a $75,000 funding goal, and now they're shooting for $300,000. The smallest contribution you can make is about $35, but they're going to make what's called a patch. And they're actually calling it Kite, K-I-T-E. And this patch, the lightning out the window is scaring me. I'm not hearing it yet, so it's a ways off. So this patch will just stick to your body, and apparently it makes you invisible to mosquitoes. And it'd probably be a while before we get one of these, but I went ahead and contributed the Kickstarter because I'm going to get one for my wife, if nothing more than just a little joke and have a little fun. But if you hate mosquitoes as much as the rest of us do, this might be something for you to check out. I'll have the link up in the show notes, obviously, at gncshownotes.com. Hey, if you are a Time Warner customer, did you get the message today that your monthly modem rental fee is going to be going up from $395 to $599? So, you know, that's a nice little price increase there. They whack them all at us little by little. So, of course, be feel free to tell Time Warner what you think about that. Over in Tech Dirt, they're talking about Astrosurfing is trying to bring down reviews of a gal's by the name of Susan Crawford's book. And even though Tech Dirt says her book's a little bit over the top in some places, she's wrote this book called Captive Audience, The Telecom Industry and the Monopoly Power in the New Gilded Age. And a lot of people respect this gal, but apparently the telecom industry has absolutely lost their mind. And they basically are astrosurfing her book, writing negative reviews on Amazon and just everything else to try to downgrade the sales, and a lot of one stars on the book. But the lobbyists are just smearing the crap out of this thing, which tells me that they've struck a nerve. So I went and ordered it just because I want to read it. Number two, anytime I'm hearing things like this, it makes you go, there's got to be something in there that's really, really juicy that that touches a nerve. So if you feel so inclined to pick the book up, let me give you a link here. It's available on Prime. $20 is the cost. Kindle edition is $14.99. That's what I ordered, but I'll have a non-affiliate link up to it post show for you to check out. Also, you know, this whole voting thing on the NSA stuff that happened last week, people are getting pissed. Activists stormed office of a congressman who voted for basically voted against the amendment. So they paid an unexpected visit to the office of New York congressman in protest of the vote. And the action is intended to call out Representative Gregory Meeks, Democrat of New York, and the more than 200 other members of Congress. So they basically stormed his office and refused to leave. And he ended up having to delay a flight to Washington. And he met with members of this group calling themselves Restore the Fourth. And apparently they got a discussion with him. But anyway, good article about that over on The Verge. But what's sad is only six people went to this guy's office. So if it had been 600, that would have really got his attention, right? Now, speaking of, you know, what's been going on this space, MI6 and MI5 in the UK refuse to use Lenovo computers over claims that the Chinese makes them vulnerable to hacking. Basically, this is according to the folks at independent.co.uk, the machines produced by a state-backed technology company, which is the largest PC produced in the world, claim to have been found in tests by MI5 and whoever GCHQ is to have modifications in the circuitry which could allow remote access to devices without the owner's knowledge. I'm going to tell you, you know, there's lots of stuff like this going around. You find a USB stick on the ground, you throw that thing in the trash. You know, only buy USB and extended memory stuff from reputable sources. And even then, scan the doggone thing before you do anything, you know, when you're not connected to the internet. Because there's been a lot of bad stuff happening with USB sticks and a variety of other things that, probably the biggest threat to our national security is the thumb drive. You know, you just got to be careful with these things. You really, really do. Apparently, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security ran a test in which staffers dropped flash drives in the parking lot of government and contractor buildings. 60% of the folks who picked them up simply plugged them into network computers. That percentage jumped to 90% if the drive had an official logo. You know, even before I retired from the Navy, they had disabled USB ports and they were banned. You know, and I've been gone a long time. People know, do not put USB drives in computers and government computers. You know, it is not supposed to happen. And people are still so stupid. I swear to God, it just drives me crazy. You know, when someone does that, if there's a government employee that does that, sticks a USB stick in a computer after they've been told countless times not to do it, you know, they should be reprimanded, fired, or what. You know, it's just, it's insane, right? Does the companies you work at, do they allow you to bring in external media from other companies and plug them to the network? You know, what's the ramifications that happens where you work if you bring in outside media? You know, we have a lot of IT folks that listen to this show. You know, what's happening in your networks? I'd love to hear from you guys. geeknews@gmail.com. You know, it's not pretty out there. Hey, over on time.com. There's a great interview with Matt from WordPress and a nice little discussion about where WordPress is headed and things that are going on. Of course, there was a big developers conference in San Francisco that happened last week. But, 18.9% of the web now consists of sites that run on WordPress software, you know, and this site at Geek News Central is included. You know, that's why our PowerPress plugin is as successful as it has been. Is that about 95% of the podcasts in the world run on WordPress. And guess what? 95% of those, about 95 or 93, 94% of those use PowerPress as their podcasting plugin. So, along with our stats. So it's pretty cool to be along on this ride. We get asked, from time to time, hey, we write a plugin for this platform. I'm like, get me 50 people that say they're on that platform and we'll do it. And no one ever basically is able to break that, that minimal number that can come together and say they need something. All right, switching gears here quite a little bit. MPAA wants $750 million in damage from ISIL hunt. Yes, the MPAA is hoping to get $750 million in damages from, is that Canadian dollars? From Canadian-based torrent site ISIL hunt. The movie studio group argues that such a high sum would not only punish the site owners, but make others think twice before they start a similar. How are they ever going to collect $750 million? Please. Do they really think? They want each of the 44 copyrighted titles that the MPAA is suing them on to pick an appropriate figure for compensation, somewhere between $750,000 and $150,000. And then a whole bunch of other stuff. And then the damages fine. It's just ridiculous. It really is. Kim.com, basically the New Zealand public has burned through $1.6 million U.S. dollars in legal cost. And into this article here on Tort Freak, Kim.com says that regardless of the outcome of the trial and everything going on, he estimates that his total legal fees are going to be about $50 million U.S. That's just an incredible number. It really, really is. All right, hey, a few of these great Ohana that listen to the show, listen to from China. Many of you are expats that are listening in China. And if you are going to an official Apple store and you need to get to the Genius Bar, you might be having trouble in Beijing. It appears that scalpers are booking every available, in Shanghai, are booking every available time slot for the Genius Bars. And then the scalpers are basically putting about a 10 won, $1.60 price tag on each of those appointments. They mail you the information where you can go in and change the appointment details and so forth. So someone is capitalizing on the Genius Bars, and I'm sure at some point that they'll figure that out. But if you're trying to get an appointment, you're going to have to pay some scalper to do so. I never used Zagat before, but Google's re-debut, the new Zagat app for Android and iOS, and a redesigned website. So apparently they've lifted also the registration requirements necessary to basically review reviews online. But anyway, Zagat promises its existing ratings and reviews for spots in those markets in over 50 U.S. cities will soon be available on the web. So anyway, that is new and about and available. Article over on Engadget. You know, I've been playing with glass a lot, have a lot of fun with it. And Mercedes-Benz is also pretty excited about glass, and they're imagining seamless door-to-door directions with Google Glass and basically saying that they want to give you directions from the time you walk out of your house to your vehicle, wherever it may be parked, driving your vehicle to the time you get out of your car, then walk to your destination. They don't want you just to have the driving directions. They want you to have the walking directions as well. So that's kind of an interesting move here to give you both pedestrian and automotive directions to take you door from door. And they want glass to seamlessly transition between walking and in-car navigation. So in other words, as soon as you get ready to get out of the car, it transfers the data to you and you go. And you don't actually navigate on glass in the vehicle. You navigate with the Mercedes-Benz navigation platform. But I'm sure Google has got some plans for that as well. iOS 7 Beta 4 has hit with a boatload of bug fixes. And so they're moving forward on that. So the beta version of iOS 7 is out and available. So maybe we're getting closer to release candidate. All right, the U.S. Patent Office threw Apple underneath the bus this morning. They've thrown out Apple's pinch to zoom claim against Samsung. So this is another whack against Apple for this seemingly never-ending legal battle. And this definitely throws a wrench into Apple's master plan, basically throwing out patent number 7,844,915. But this is, obviously going to be contested by Apple because they have 2 months to dispute the decision. And we'll see whether or not this, what happens with the Board of Appeals on this. So it's not done by far. What else? Okay, I got a, Engadget's done a nice write-up on Chromecast. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Also, they've already rooted this thing. So that that's in process as well. They're trying to, hackers are already working towards digging into this thing deep. Facebook, article over in Geek News Central, written up by Jen, one of our fantastic writers. She is talking about the hashtag engagement on Facebook. And she basically says Facebook added hashtags as a new feature a little more than a month ago. She says, how is that working out for them? And she says, not quite as well as they hoped it would. Somehow, this does not surprise her. It seems that the idea that was that adding hashtags would allow Facebook users to add some context to their post. It would also allow other users to discover content by searching for a particular hashtag. Facebook is hoping that people would choose to post things like pound Starbucks. The point was to encourage people to engage more with the brands that advertise on and through Facebook. She says, part of the problem is that many of the brands on Facebook aren't good at using hashtags across social media platforms. In other words, they might have used a particular hashtag on Facebook and a different one on Twitter, or they use a hashtag on Twitter but don't use them in Facebook at all. She says it's a lack of cohesiveness. So Simply Measured put together a lot of data about the effectiveness of the brands on Facebook. The top 10 most engaging brands were averaging 19.9 million fans. Those brands post something 2.5 times per day. The top three most liked brands are Facebook, Coca-Cola, and MTV. The study also found that brands that do not allow Facebook users to post onto the brand's timeline end up with a 15% dip in engagement. You can come over to the Geek News Central website on Facebook, facebook.com, I believe, Geek News. Better be careful there. It's in the link in the show notes that will basically take you to our homepage, or basically our Facebook homepage for the show. And we definitely encourage you to post things over there. Nick Bradbury, I've known Nick a long time. Of course, Nick was the a creator of Homestyle, Top Style, Feed Demon, and of course, Glassboard for Android. Remember that Southwest Airlines Flight 345 that had the nose collapse at LaGuardia? And Nick and his family was on it. And if you want a firsthand detail from a techie that we all know and love, definitely read about Nick gets into more stuff. This guy always is having this, like, there's all this weird stuff that's always happening to him. I just was like, wow. So anyway, if you want to read about his crash landing experience, I'll have the link up in the show notes, but not a very positive thing from about Southwest and their handling of it at all. Over to AT&T's latest home broadband service isn't DSL or fiber, it's LTE. And they're offering you, wow, check this out, folks. This is a great deal. The baseline service is $80 a month. Includes unlimited local calls and domestic long distance for 20 and 10 gigabits of data for 60. So you get, you can have 10 connections to it. So you get, for $80, you get unlimited local calls and long distance and 10 gigs of data for $60. I think I'll pass. given the price of AT&T service, you probably wouldn't want too fast a connection anyway. You can buy 20 gigs a month for $90 and 30 gigs for 120. And I go through a lot of data. That would not suffice me at all. There's a rumor on the street that there's a little shakeup going on at Apple. Bob Mansfield has been reassigned from his position. He was the hardware engineering executive, and he's been reassigned to a special project along with some high profile hires, may be evidence that Apple's getting serious about what comes next for the company. And, you know, so Apple's executive leadership team has definitely went underneath some changes in the last year and a lot of reorganization, obviously. But this move by Bob Mansfield in the dead of night this past weekend has people scratching their heads. And, of course, he used to be part of the inner circle of Steve Jobs. He did try to retire last year and was convinced to stay on as SVP of the vaguely named Technologies Division. But he's no longer leading that division. So we'll see what happens here. And probably they got something cooking over there. But good article over on GigaOm about the whole details. And, of course, with the secrecy of Apple, we probably won't know anything until they make a new product announcement. Now, many of you have had connected devices and had a family member, you know, maybe in a hospice or in a situation where, you know, a family member may have lost their life. But apparently an NPR host was live tweeting his mother's last moments. And Scott Simon, an author and host of NPR's Weekend Edition, was posting messages to Twitter from his mother's bedside in the intensive care unit of a Chicago hospital. And the response has shown just how powerful Twitter can be. And, you know, I understand you having, you know, crazy emotions going on when a parent or a loved one is dying. But I don't know. I really, personally, I think that's a personal thing. And you guys know that on show 200, when I lost my dad, you know, I did basically send out a short recording letting you guys know why I wasn't going to be recording the show and why, you know, why that basically I was going to be gone for a couple of weeks. And I think about that in retrospect, and it was a good experience for me from the feedback I got. So I wonder if this gentleman, my name is Scott Simon, was getting the same type of, you know, outpouring of affection coming back via his Twitter feed. So maybe, you know, I have to look at this through different lenses, but I don't know. If you got a loved one that is terminally ill and it's just, you know, you're getting close to that time, I don't know if I could sit there and just tweet maybe hour after hour. I don't know. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on this. It's heart-wrenching, obviously, and touches right the soul of all of us, you know, because, you know, each one of us will face this type of a situation at some point. At some point, we'll be the ones on the other side getting ready to check out. But it's an interesting topic, for sure, from a privacy and also from a just, you know, really putting yourself out there type of thing. Switching gears here, Apple workers have filed a lawsuit for lost wages due to bag searches. Former Apple employees say the company requires workers to stand around without pay for up to 30 minutes a day while waiting for managers to search their bags for stolen merchandise. That's interesting. So they don't even trust their employees enough to let them leave work without doing bag searches. That's crazy. Hey, there's a great New York Times article talking about VCR's past is guiding television's future. And if you think about what's developed here in the past week with Chromecast, right? And what we know is happening with Roku, of course, this thing going on with Hopper and all the wins that's come our way. You know, Arrow's won everything. Hopper's won their stuff. The cable companies even got to allow their do their DVR type of thing. So all the stuff that has been good for us on that front has turned our way. But everything goes back to the decision, the landmark Supreme Court decision in 1984 that held that taping and time shifting on part of viewers was legitimate fair use. And in each instance of all these recent cases, the courts have more or less held the customers are doing the programming recording as such, have the rights to do so, even so they're doing remotely through a third party. And I tell you, this is coming, this is going to, if these cases hold, and if nothing gets back to the Supreme Court that can kind of undo the 1984 ruling, it's all good for us. It really, really is. And the cable companies are going to have to adapt. Now, we know that Arrow is having, you know, they're going to have growth issues because we don't know if it's going to completely catch on. But they bring it to Hawaii, I'm there. I'm signing up. I'm automatically, boom. That's where we'll actually be able to semi-permanently cut the cord. I think that's going to be the thing that'll basically break the camel's back here. And but it's interesting to see how this is going to completely work out. But we'll see. But again, it goes back to that Betamax case, right? And but it's real good observation by the New York Times. And I didn't know that David Carr, which has come out with some pretty knucklehead articles in times past, was capable of this type of an article. But I think he hit the nail on the head on this one. All right, Zynga. Man, they're losing people like crazy. Zynga's lost 3 top execs this month, and people familiar with the matter said that the increasing number of managers who have exited the struggling social games developer is just off the chart. So I don't know. What's you know, they had some major good stuff going on. I don't understand why they're having so much trouble. Vimeo and Redbox Instant are next coming to Chromecast. Plex and HBO Go maybe as well. So that's good news. Blueberry and Tech Podcast and all our stuff is coming too. We're going to make sure all our stuff is Chromecast ready. The rumors about the new iPhone will have biometric fingerprint sensor has apparently been confirmed through a leak. And there's a new folder called Biometric Kit UI. And seems pretty solid that Apple's preparing the new iPhone with a fingerprint sensor. So that's kind of cool, but I've had mixed results with fingerprint sensors in the past and how well they worked and haven't worked. Hey, don't forget tonight you can call the hotline. And actually, I was a knucklehead. I think there's some stuff in the hotline I need to check. So if we get to the end of the show here, and I'll go through it and open that up and make sure we haven't missed anything. Progress launch has docked with the ISS, a Progress spacecraft docked with the International Space Station Sunday night, less than 6 hours after its launch from Kazakhstan. A Soyuz rocket carrying the M20M spacecraft, and they're basically delivering 2.5 metric tons of supplies and equipment for the station, including tools to help repair a spacesuit that suffered a water leak during a recent spacewalk earlier this month. Hear about this hack that was done by some researchers, where researchers at the University of Texas have used a custom-made GPS device to divert an $80 million yacht from its course, heightening the potential threat to maritime travel. And really what they have to do is they have to spoof the GPS. So this is not something that, you know, you're just going to do this remotely. You're going to have access to the yacht to do that. But they say they were able to do it. Nice little video about it as well. We already talked about targeted adverts, and we know that targeted advertisements happen to us when we're online, but they're saying now that in the near, very, very near future, when you walk into a shopping center and the video screen nearby brings up footage from the new box set of your favorite TV series, don't be surprised, because they feel that they're going to face recognition you, and they're going to start pitching you, and they will actually dispatch salespeople to you. Knowing based on your buying history in a particular store. So don't be surprised if that happens in a mall near you soon. Car key and immobilizer hack revelations blocked by UK court. A high court judge has blocked 3 security researchers from publishing details on how to crack a car immobilization system. German car maker Volkswagen and French defense group fails to tame the interim ruling after arguing that the information could be used by criminals. The academics had planned to present the information to conference in August. Wow. So they basically figured out how to basically shut down a VW. So, of course, this tech has also been used in Audi cars as well. So it's not just VWs that are affected here. But you know, that's just going to make people more curious. They're going to go out, dig around, and find more information. Now, my wife has had this infatuation with Hummers, the vehicle, and that just came out way wrong, didn't it? Oh, my God. So we know in 2009, the Hummer vehicle by General Motors was basically went the way of the dinosaur, right? We know that it had been adapted from the military vehicle, the Humvee, and the truck became a well-known status film symbol for gangster raptors and my wife, who really wants one. And following the purchase of the rights to design by UK manufacturing design firm Prindeville, it's now being reinvented as a 2-seater electric vehicle. So wait till I tell her this. She's going to be like, oh, really? And I'm sure it's going to be at a price tag that none of us are going to be able to afford. But anyway, she just loves those vehicles. And every time, oh, honey, are you going to buy me one? I'm like, no, it's like 7 miles to the gallon of gas. And no way, no how. Not going to happen. So, gosh, I'm going to get killed if she listens to this show. Senate Bill 607, Electronic Communication Privacy Act, amends the Act of 2013. Basically, the central is police and other officials don't need warrants to access personal emails that are more than 180 days old. That's because in 1986, when Congress passed the ECPA, emails had to be downloaded from servers from long-term storage and message untouched for 180 days were considered abandoned. Senate Bill 607 updates the law and requires the government to get a warrant to read old emails and documents stored by web companies. And we'll see if this actually makes it through. This will actually work. But obviously, people don't want this particular... certain individuals do not want this bill to be passed. If you go to Russia, Russian police are spying on people's mobile data to catch thieves. They have a new device that's going to be used in Moscow's metro subway, where police will be able to track data on cell phone SIM cards from up to 5 meters away and be able to determine if that device is on a list of stolen cell phones. And they feel that they can reduce crime that way. And hey, are you a CBS fan? Well, CBS and Time Warner are in a major showdown here. And basically, it's all about money again. So basically, we could lose CBS as part of your cable packaging. It's primary, though, customers in New York, Los Angeles, Dallas, Fort Worth area, along with a handful of other cities where Time Warner is not the primary cable operator. And it represents about 3 million subscribers, or roughly a quarter of Time Warner's entire base. And they're fighting over retransmission fees. So we'll see where this goes. This is just another one of those little things, and one wants more money than the other wants to give, obviously. If you are looking forward to Xbox One, apparently it's going to be available on 29 November at Toys R Us, and it's going to be ahead of the PlayStation 4. So if you're trying to determine where to spend your money this coming holiday season, that will be the place. The ASCAP has petitioned the FCC to deny Pandora's purchase of a radio station. Huh? Northpine.com reports ASCAP is firing back against Pandora's radio's attempt to get lower music royalties by buying a terrestrial radio station. Hits 102.7, KXMZ, Box Elder, Rapid City. In a petition to deny, ASCAP alleges that Pandora has failed to fully disclose its ownership and to adequately demonstrate that it complies with the commission's foreign ownership rules. ASCAP also alleges that Pandora has no intention of operating KXMZ to serve the public interest, but is rather only interested in obtaining lower royalty rates. Pandora reached a deal to buy KXMZ from Connoisseur Media for $600,000 earlier this year. It's already running the station through a local marketing agreement. Ha-ha, I didn't know that. Nice way to, interesting way to make a move on getting lower royalty rates. Senators are not very happy with the NSA director's response to their queries about what's going on over there. So anyway, I will, or actually he's a DNI, Director of National Intelligence. So I'll let this article up for you guys to review on your own cognizance. And finally, a couple of cool things from Ogizmo. Controlling your DSL remotely with your smartphone. They got a how-to on that. And another Ogizmo article about basically a one-handled bottle opener. And fellas, you're going to love this one. It's only $16. And when you see it, you're going to like, wow, why didn't I think of that? Let me, for those of you that are watching. Let me give you guys a little view. Being the summertime, a couple of cold ones are always good after a very hot day out and about. So let me go over and see. Let me load up this browser. And okay, wake up. And let me go over to my bookmarks. And I apologize here, but I need to go over and do this. But you know, I promote the where the heck is it? Okay, why are you not showing up? Okay, can I do it this way? Access. Yeah, there we go. For some reason, a bookmark is missing. And yes, I can still auto log in. I don't even have the doggone cable hooked up here. Let me look at. There's some voicemails in here. Did I screw up? Let me grab the cable here. What is this one? Let me look at this. This is going to ask me to play Java. All right, let me play this one. Let's see if we can hear this thing. Okay, I'm going to allow you to use the JavaScript. Yes, I understand this is going to be a security risk. Run. And let's hit play. Oh, I don't hear nothing. Why is that? All right, let me try something else here. Let's download this thing. It's, you know, it's going to be, somebody's going to have sent me a, it's going to be some telemarketer. That's what it's going to be. Let's go. Okay, we'll open it up with Windows Media Player. How come I can't hear this thing? All right. Did I screw this up? Oh, that's not good. All right, we'll get that figured out on the next show. I'm sorry. I totally blew that here. So, yes, you can call the hotline if I check this. Check the interface. Oh, what a knucklehead. Let's get into the email. And that way we can get you guys out of here. Host fail. Okay. Mark says, hey, Chromecast will change the way mainstream viewers watch TV. This is a cornerstone product that will absolutely change the way people watch. If it's cheap and easy to use, we'll be talking about this release 5 years from now. Got an entry from Alan and from Richard. Got an email here from Andrew. Say, hey, Todd, hope all... What was that? Is that me sweating? Or did a bug drop on me? Hey, Todd, hope all is well. I just heard that... I just saw this and had to share with it. Ford makes annual shifting easier with 3D printing and total jaw replacement with a 3D printer. Yeah, I saw their 3D printers, Andrew, when I was in at Ford. They do some pretty cool stuff. They really, really do. Got an email from Jeff. Say, hey, Todd, I too am looking forward to trying out Chromecast. Bummed about Netflix offer being halted, and I ordered an hour too late. By the way, would love to win one of yours. Hint, hint. You got one more chance there, Jeff. Got an email from Glenn. Hey, Todd, the device looks hopeful, but I really can't see people cutting the cord and using it as their main media delivery mechanism until more of the mainstream broadcasters support web delivery, at least in Canada, where I am. This is far from the case at this time. Got an email from Nir. Thanks for letting us know about it. Got an email from Sam. He says, here's what I think about the Chromecast. And he's got a link to his Twitter feed. He says, I think it's revolutionary and has obsoleted the Roku and Apple TV. The reason I say that is because if a person doesn't have an OTT device and they're in the market for one, Chromecast is a logical and least expensive choice. At a third of the price of the Apple TV and Roku 3, it's what cost-conscious people will buy. Being able to create a shared YouTube playlist will be huge with the kids. Being able to control it with any device is huge. Enabling on-web sites should be pretty straightforward and expensive compared to the time, energy, and cost of the Roku channel we're building. I agree. If you guys need help with that Roku channel, Sam, let me know. Recommending these to our congregation for our Chromecast as enabled sermon library will be a much more feasible option than Roku. I really think that the Chromecast is going to be a game changer for content creators and cord cutters alike. Sam, of course, one of our top Ohana in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Got an email from Max. Hey, Todd, Google beat me to the punch. I actually had an idea for something like this, but wasn't able to execute it before. I didn't really have the know-how, but I'm sure I'm not the only geek with that sort of idea. And not only the first one either. It's not the first go-round here. Melvin basically says, hey, Todd, one of the rare votes where two Hawaii congresspersons split. Hanabusa voted to support the spying. Tulsi Gabbard voted against. Actually, I looked at my district stuff, and Tulsi Gabbard is my is technically my congressperson. So, which is an interesting is she way she voted. Again, Melvin won the Chromecast, so congratulations to that. Got an email from Steve. He says, please enter me in the drawing. Yeah, you were. Got an email from Rob, entered as well. Christian entered as well. And Leonard, we answer. If you didn't listen, Leonard, make sure that you listen to the new media show. I went into your email quite a little bit and replied to many of your comments on the new media show. So definitely listen to the one with Rick Calvert that we did this past Sunday. Ross entered as well. Michael did. Vincent did as well. Joey did as well. And I think that's it. That's all we've got for everyone's trying to win a Chromecast. So pretty good email out for that. We want to thank all of you guys for participating. Don't forget, we're giving one more away along with a Google TV as well. So you got two chances to win. Please, two separate emails, and there's two different requirements as I talked about earlier in the show. So, yes, the hotline is open. I just have to be make sure I'm checking it every time. But everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Don't forget GoDaddy. We appreciate you supporting them in a big, big way. They really do keep the lights on. And also, I forgot to mention this at the beginning, and I am a bad host for doing so. We've had a number of folks come in as insiders, and I really want to thank those. And we've had some come in at $10 and $5 a month, and that really helps. It really, really does. It's greatly appreciated. And I've got to get caught up and get everyone added to the mailing list that have started insider contributions, but it is appreciated. And for those of you that are considering becoming an insider, this is a great time to become one. $2, $5, $10, $15, $25 a month, whatever you feel I'm worth. And I would appreciate that contribution in a significant way. Lots of things cooking, though. Lots of things going on here, which is good. And everything's positive. Show continues to move forward. And I'm enjoying my semi-staycation. I'm promising myself that I'm not going to be working as much this week and taking it a little easier and I'm doing stuff I want to do. That's the main thing. Not stuff I have to do. I'm doing stuff I want to do. And that's a lot more fun when it comes to being able to relax. And when you're not stressed out, you're just doing the fun stuff. You're not doing the bang your head against the wall type of stuff and stuff that drives you crazy. So, That's a bigger part of it. And actually, I think I was driving Angelo crazy today because I was pinging him emails. I found a bug here. I saw this there. Because, you know, some of this stuff I get digging into and I'm like, you know, it's like I said, I'm doing stuff I enjoy. And the next thing I got 10 emails to him with red arrows and marks and slashes and crosses. And plus, we're working real hard to get this Raw Voice Certified program off the ground. And, with ESPN Beyond Board using our stats system and companies like we've got a big university in UK that's using it and, of course, Quick and Dirty Tips Network and a variety of other large name, basically significant podcasters out there. We're very much feel that we've got great forward momentum with that product. And we're looking forward to announcing that to all of our premium users of our stats service. So, anything that, you know, just keep moving the ball forward. And that's what we're doing here. And with all our data sets that we have, we really feel very confident in putting, I basically put our word out there and saying, this is the way it is. And that's important to us. All right, folks, I'm going to get out of here. We'll see you next time, everyone. Thanks for being here, everyone. Take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.